Sing with me.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
I bring you greetings this morning in the name of Jesus. It's good to be together in the house of God again. I've been blessed in the service so far, thinking over truth. Things that are true. Things that God says in His Word are true. Things that we all can relate to. And once again, we're here with a decision to come, to learn from God, to be exposed to truth. I believe when we think about the reason to come together, that's the reason we want to hear God's truth. This morning I'd like to talk about growing in the knowledge of God. Maybe that sounds like a very general subject. I'd like to look into this thing. Think about growing. Each one of us here have grown. We start out very small. When we think about a baby, I remember when we had small babies. You know, if that baby wasn't growing according to normal growth, we got alarmed. We take our babies to the doctor once in a while for a checkup. Is it growing big enough, fast enough, or is there something wrong? Is there some deficiency? Is there something wrong that needs special attention? Growth is something that we expect. It's normal. We want to see normal growth, and we're alarmed when there's not normal growth. And when there's not, we say, something's wrong. Rightly so. It's not time for school right now. Another month or so. A child that's in school, we expect growth. We expect an increasing of understanding, an increasing of knowledge. But we expect a child in school, whether boy or girl, we expect them to start out knowing not very much about academics, about the three R's. But we expect them, we're going to grow. We don't expect a first grader to know algebra. We don't expect a first grader to know how to diagram sentences. We expect them to start with knowing very little. But it takes work on their part in order to acquire knowledge. And when there's not effort put forth, we become alarmed because we know that the end result is going to be there's not expected growth. You won't be able to finish the year. You won't be able to pass the grade. I remember when I was in first grade, I believe it was, it seemed like I had a problem when I was in schools. Well, out the window was more interesting than my desk. It was easy to be looking out the window and seeing what's going on out there. And I remember one day, the teacher telling me, "Laban, are you going to work or shall we have the spanking?" Well, it didn't take me very long. And I squeaked out, "I'll work." It had the desired effect. It got my attention. We need to pay attention if there's going to be growth. I've heard of where some teachers will come along and, the student that is gazing out the window, not paying attention, not doing their work diligently, take a paper bag and ploops over their head. That tends to get the attention to, okay, it's time to be diligent here. And growing requires diligence. It requires effort. And when there's not effort put forth, there needs to be means in order to get that effort in gear. So it is in the knowledge of God. We don't expect a new Christian to understand everything about God. Fact is, none of us understands everything about God. But we grow. And to a Christian, I know I'm talking to a group of Christians here this morning. We have a couple hundred people here. We have a lot of knowledge of God. We've been blessed by and large with being taught about God most all our lives, most of us. There's a great knowledge of God. But what are we doing with that knowledge, and are we intent in growing in our knowledge of God? And what I want to say is that to Christians, to believers in God, this thing of growing is extremely important. This is something that I need in my life. So each one of us individually, this is something that concerns us, me, you. Am I growing? Am I growing? And if not, why not? Recently, I was looking at a field of corn. Thinking about a couple different fields of corn. One field had, at least in some areas, had a good amount of fertilizer, got various doses of water, irrigation, and that corn looked happy. It was just going. And at one time it looked kind of wilted, like the growing wasn't really going good, but now that corn looks happy and it's really going places, nice and green. And there's another field where there's areas that don't look happy. The corn looks well, some of it's not growing well, some of it's not growing at all. Some of it's looking wilted. We say, what's wrong? Why didn't that grow? What was lacking in this that's sufficient in this? What's the difference? And so in our personal lives, we look at the effects of growing in the knowledge of God. Where am I? Is my life, does it look to God like a happy life? Does my life look like a sad, lacking life? And why? We were created to grow in our knowledge of God. We were created to have a relationship with God, not just a mindless walking along, but as God's children, we were created to grow in our knowledge of God. And I know that you know what I'm talking about. Each one of us in our lives, I think I'm pretty much like the rest of you, in that we have this quest in our lives. We want more of God. But there are so many distractions. There are so many things that get in the way. There are discouragements. There are troubles. Can I say there's unbeliefs? There are things that get in our way. And we come to church and we want more of God. We want to grow in our knowledge of God, but sometimes it feels like I'm not getting there. Sometimes it feels like it's kind of going over my head. I'm just mainly sleepy when I come to church. And my real personal interest in growing, well, it just Well, it just feels like I'm just lacking in a personal interest in growing in God. Open your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter 3, I'd like to read verses 17 and 18. It says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things, beware." You know these things before. "Beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I notice in the verse before, in verse 17, we have here some problem indicated. Beware lest, and it names an issue that can stunt my growth. Beware lest ye be led away with the error of the wicked and fall from your own steadfastness. I can lose out. I can finally get to the place where I don't really care about whether I grow in my knowledge of God or not. And that's a scary thought for me, and it should be for you, that if I don't pay attention, if I don't be diligent, I could lose out. I heard recently about a man that was at one time a Christian, a good number of years ago. This man was concerned about the salvation of his parents. This man was concerned about the things of God, but something happened and he didn't pay attention to his own heart. And he went after other women. His heart. He didn't guard his heart. He was led away with the error of the wicked. And Peter tells us here, beware. The law of life is grow or die. And that's the way it is in our spiritual life also. Grow or die. And I don't have this morning an exciting story to rouse your feelings or your attention. But I asked you to think about whether you're growing or whether you're dying spiritually. Because it's a situation in each one of our hearts, in my heart, in your heart. Are we paying attention? Are we growing or are we dying? Let's go to Colossians 1. Colossians 1 and verse 10 says, "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." And I especially want that last phrase, increasing in the knowledge of God. And then taking that, let's back up to the first part of the verse. Walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. There are things to pay attention to in bearing fruit. We have the list of the fruit of the Spirit. We have many different things in the New Testament teach us the works that God requires of believers. He requires these works. And when we are paying attention, we're looking at into the face of God and we want to grow in our knowledge of Him, those works will be produced. When we're not looking at God and not concerned about growing in the knowledge of Him, those works tend to fizzle. Go to chapter 2, Colossians 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Notice the thought here in verse 7. Rooted and built up has the idea of growing. Build up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now notice the warning in verse 8. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. So that completeness, that perfection in Christ is what we're striving for. To grow in the likeness of Jesus, to grow in the knowledge of God. Verse 8 here brings out some dangers and some trouble that is oh so prevalent among human beings. Notice what it says here. Philosophy. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. What's philosophy? What does that mean? Philosophy. I think this means a way of thinking. The way that carnal man would think. The way that society around us thinks. They put a high priority on what? You know what it is in your world. Pride. Lifting up myself, making a name for myself, being better than you, being better than how many others, being known to be better, money, fame, pleasure, man's philosophy, humanism, whatever I think, then that's going to be just good. If I think it's good, then it's good. I decided this is good for me. I decided that well, your idea is not worth anything. I decided that in the Church of God that it's up to me to say what's going to happen. I decided that the ministers don't know what they're talking about. I decided, and we go on down the line, the way carnal man thinks. God's Word does not support that. God's Word says God has the plan. God has the directives. God says how it's going to happen, how it's supposed to work. And so often, in the Church of God, man's philosophy works in there, here and there. Vain deceit. After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Over and over and over, we see how the world puts importance on different things, on success in business maybe, on high education, making a name for yourself. You've got so many degrees and now you really know it. But in the knowledge of God, that means nothing. Nothing. Verse 10 says, ye are complete in Him. In the last word, verse 7, says, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Thankfulness is an interesting thing. It does something for us when we're thankful. When we recognize that I have received. Maybe a lot of times we think, well, I deserved it. Of course I should receive it. But I think when we recognize that we have received from God forgiveness and salvation and we don't deserve it. And I think entering into that, in that is the knowledge of God, God's knowledge that I don't deserve salvation and God has offered it to me. Thanksgiving is a very large part the Christian life. In this world today, there's probably more knowledge among humanity than ever before in history. There's so much known, so much knowledge, and there's so much study, and there's so much so much emphasis put on study and going to college and just learning, and it doesn't really matter what you're studying, just go to college for something, learn. Well, the true knowledge of God dims in the background when we put attention to what the world thinks is so important. So where are we today? You in your life, me in my life. What importance do we put on the knowledge of God? As a Christian, we say, yes, I'm a Christian. I believe in God. I'm a sinner and I have received salvation for my sins. Praise the Lord. Thank God. But as walking on, as growing, which process are we following? Are we chasing? And this thing of being approved by the world's way of thinking, where does that enter in here in my life and in your life? The values of the world, the values of society around me, what they think is important. How do I come out on that? So we're not free to make our own rules for our Christian life. We're not free to make our own guidelines or our own decisions about, now this equals Christianity. Not one of us is free to just decide how I'm going to do that. We are all servants to someone. The Bible tells us we are either servants to sin or we're servants to righteousness. Growing in the knowledge of God. God has given directives how this Christian life is supposed to work. What am I doing with that knowledge that I have? Sometimes we want answers. What am I supposed to do next? What decision should I make next? Where should I go? Where should I work? What should I do? Or maybe where should I go to church? Or there's many decisions that come along. We want to know. We say, God, please tell me. Why don't you tell me more clearly what I should do? I would like to take you to a little story in the book of Matthew, chapter 21. If you'd like to turn there, I would like to notice a little story there. And remember this, what I just said. As we go through this story, remember how this relates here. This thing of saying that I want more knowledge of God and I want more knowing more about God, but let's notice a story about some people that asked Jesus a question. They acted like they wanted to know something, but let's notice what happened. And especially I want to capitalize on verse 27, the last part where Jesus said, "Neither tell I you." I thought about using that phrase for the message this morning. Neither tell I you. In our quest to, as Christians, to grow in knowledge of God, we have here some people coming to Jesus, and it's like Jesus was in the church preaching, teaching. Can you imagine if Brother Steve was up here preaching, and suddenly in through the door comes walking all the other religious leaders of Halsey. And they come walking right up the aisle where everybody can see and hear. And they come up here on the pulpit and they say, "Steve, what authority do you have to say what you're saying?" What do you think Steve would say? You think he'd stammer and stutter? Especially if there's about 5 people over here and about 6 over here. And maybe taller than him, and maybe talking in a gruff voice. What do you think Steve would say? You think he'd just look at him and not say anything? You think he'd keep right on preaching? You think he'd stop and say, "Well, of course, by the authority of God's word," what would he say? Notice this story here, Matthew 21. I suppose if it was me, I would quickly try to answer their question. Well, by the authority of God's word, by God's authority. Look at our Lord Jesus here. As He deals with people that had a knowledge of God, but there was something wrong. They had some knowledge of God, but something was wrong. Jesus said, I'm not going to tell you the answer to your question. Why would Jesus say that? Do you think Brother Steve would say that when someone would come here and ask him, by what authority do you preach like that? Would he tell them, I'm not going to tell you? I know that Jesus has all authority and that He can see into everyone's hearts and know exactly what's going on from front to back, from beginning to end, and He knows way more than any of us do. But Jesus saw into the hearts of these people that came up front and disrupted His teaching and asked Him a question in the presence of all the people so that everybody could hear. What authority do you have? It's in verse 23. Where they came to Jesus and said, by what authority doest thou these things, and who gave thee this authority? Just before this we have where Jesus had come to Jerusalem riding on the little donkey, and the people were praising Him. And the Jews were, they didn't like that. And we have where Jesus went to the temple and He overthrew the money changers' tables and He chased the people out of there and He cleansed the temple, and they didn't like that. And they saw how the sick and the blind, the people with needs came in there to Jesus and Jesus healed them. They didn't like that Jesus was getting this attention. They didn't like the authority that Jesus was displaying. When the children were crying and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, talking about Jesus, they were sore displeased. It says in verse 15. So now Jesus is in the temple and He's preaching. And these leaders come and they say, by what authority do you do these things? These people knew about God. They had a knowledge of God. They had some. They knew the law from the Old Testament. They knew a lot about God. But they wanted to fit God into their understanding, into their way of thinking, so that they could accomplish their desire, so that they could leave room for their carnality. And when what Jesus said stamped on their toes, showed them up, showed how carnal they were and how vile they were not happy. Growing in the knowledge of God was not their first concern. Jesus could see that in their hearts. That was not their first concern. Their first concern was, make me look good. Whatever it takes, it doesn't matter. Just make me look good. Am I guilty of that? Are you guilty of that? When we are exposed to the knowledge of God and it shows up, carnality, sin, unconfessed sin. It shows up bitterness in my heart, unforgiveness, pride, lust, whatever it might be. And so, do I say, well, let's just sidestep the... Just let it go by. Just get me out of the limelight so it doesn't show me up. These people that came to Jesus and said, by what authority do you do these things? I believe they wanted to intimidate Jesus and squelch Him so that the knowledge of God wouldn't illuminate their lives and show them up. Squelch Him. Let's just put the light out so it doesn't show us. And I was impressed with this story, how Jesus saw into their hearts and He saw that they were not dealing truly with the light that they had, with the knowledge that they had of God, they were not honest and open about it. Hence, when they asked Jesus this question, Jesus saw that you're not dealing with the truth you have. I will not give you more. Jesus knew what was going on in their hearts, and we can't see all that goes in people's minds, but Jesus could see that. You are not willing to deal with what you already have. I won't give you more. Neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. Jesus asked them a simple question. The baptism of John. Was it from heaven or of men? And everybody knew John was a prophet of God. Everybody knew that. They saw what he did. They heard what he preached. Everybody knew that. But some people went and followed and repented from their sins and did something about it. These scribes and Pharisees, they heard, but they did not align themselves with that truth. Hence, they were not in a position to receive more truth. And that makes me wonder, where am I? Where are you? In growing in the knowledge of God, the knowledge that we have, what are you doing about it? What am I doing about it? Is it important to me to grow, or am I pretty content to just, well, I know about God. I confess my sins back there. Everything's fine. Just don't look at me. Where am I? The knowledge of God is not only our greatest need, but it's our greatest privilege. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24 talks about, let not the rich man glory in his riches, let not the mighty man glory in his might. And a couple different descriptions there and comparisons, but it says, let him that glorieth glory in the Lord, glory in this, that he knows me. Yes, that's the thing to glory in. Not in how strong I am, not in how smart I am in the things of this world, not how good I can do anything in this world, but in that I know God. And as I know God, it makes me think of the prophet Isaiah. You know, I think of the prophet Isaiah as a godly man. A man that received God's message for the people. He received God's message, he gave it to the people. Did Isaiah feel important? Did he feel like, you know what, I know a lot about God, I'm close to God, and I'm in a good position here. Me and God, we're just right side by side here. But when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, when Isaiah saw God's glory, it reduced him down to the ground. He saw that he himself was nothing. That I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. I'm vile. I don't remember all the words there. But seeing God and God's glory, God's knowledge, did not make Isaiah feel great. He saw himself as he was. And I believe that in growing in the knowledge of God, it helps us do that. Today, me, you, as we grow in our knowledge of God and knowing about God's goodness and God's holiness, as we press into that, as we pay attention to that, as we put the paper bag over our heads so we quit looking at everything else and think about knowledge of God, it helps me see my smallness, the truth. It helps me see God's greatness, truth. All right, going back to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. And I'd like to read here verses 9 through 11. Read through verse 10 again. Noticing here, what are some things involved with growing in the knowledge of God? We know the term. We understand the term, but what does it mean really? Colossians 1, 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That takes concentrating on God. that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, not mine, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father. So we see various things here in these few verses. Walking worthy of the Lord. Being fruitful, and we talked about the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Fruits that will come out as we grow in our knowledge of God, as we press into that. How can I obtain knowledge of God? Is it something that seems kind of elusive? Like I can't really get there. It's out there somewhere and looks like everybody else knows everything that's going on except me. Let's remember that knowledge of God comes by way of the Holy Spirit. Knowledge of God comes by the Word of God. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to transform the children of God. There is no substitute for soaking in God's Word. There is nothing else that can give us knowledge of God like the Holy Spirit speaking through the Word, listening, reading the Word, studying the Word, meditating, memorizing verses in God's Word. We can't bypass God's handbook and get to know Him. The knowledge of God cannot be acquired any other way. It has to be by God's Spirit and God's book and God's way. There is no other way to get to Him. Patience is necessary. A teachable spirit is necessary. If I have a spirit that I have got it covered and you can't tell me and I'm not going to listen to you, knowledge of God is not going to be coming. A decision in my heart to be faithful to God. Faithfulness, integrity. I will be faithful to God. Our steps in acquiring knowledge of God, pressing into God's kingdom. God doesn't give knowledge of Himself to those who don't desire to glorify Him. And I think we could say it the other way around also. God doesn't give knowledge to those who desire to glorify themselves. And if I have that in my heart, if you have that in your heart, that our desire is to, well, glorify myself. God says, no, I'm not there. It'll be just like those scribes and Pharisees coming to Jesus and saying, by what authority are you doing these things? Another place they told Jesus, we want to see a sign from heaven from you that you are actually the Messiah. They had seen so many signs already. Jesus said, you've seen, there's so many signs. No, there's not going to be any more. The knowledge of God is the most wonderful, most important thing in the world. There are some hindrances. We need to pay attention to those hindrances. And I mentioned a number of sins that can be hindrances to growing in the knowledge of God. Being too busy, where time with God is crowded out. And I think that's a danger that I face. Not enough time to set aside with God, to look into His face, to look for His knowledge by His Word, by His Spirit. Allowing sin, unconfessed sin in my life. There's something back there. I'm too ashamed. I'm too embarrassed. It'll be too embarrassing to bring it out. Guess what? That's going to get in my way. In drawing close to God and learning God, the knowledge of God. But I know there's something wrong back there that hasn't been cleared. seeking status and praise of men, love of money, love of pleasure, physical exercise. We talked about bitterness, unforgiveness, revenge. All those things don't fit in the pathway of acquiring knowledge of God. They don't fit. It'll stand in our way, so we can't get there. I'd like to notice now in Ephesians 4, I'd like to read some verses here, especially noticing verse 13. Ephesians 4, verse 13 says, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Isn't that what we are striving for? The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, a perfect man. We all want to be perfect, and we all feel, "I am so unperfect. I am so full of faults." But we're striving to get there. When we fall, we need to get back up with the help of God. Keep striving for the knowledge of God. I would like to read more of this passage here in closing. I'll start at verse 11. "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase, growth of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." I read this passage and I thought, various things in here so line up with growing in the knowledge of God. Many steps mentioned here. Go back and read it again in your private time. These steps, these things that are mentioned, help us in growth in the knowledge of God and being a perfect man in Jesus Christ. May God add His blessing to His Word.